After a brief interlude, let us now today return to our dissertation. Everyone take your document. Everyone should have a copy. Those that are watching by way of the webcast, this document is available. There is an icon there that links it, the entire document. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scripture comprehension of measures.
The matrix. Today, let's go to page 16, and yet we are going to do a review from time to time. Those of us who are taking classes in the secular vein, a good teacher will stop at some point, at several points, I should say, and sort of review or summarize.
Amen.
In the upcoming doctrinal conference in May, we are going to get exclusively into the essence of what we have been rendering as scripture comprehensions or measures, the matrix. And of course, for those who do not sit under this ministry, and because it is expanded outside of our circles, we shall kind of reword some things. But it's all about understanding what's going on. Understanding what's happening. But by the scriptures. Everyone has an idea. This is what it is, and you have all of these advice columns, but this is what's going on, and everyone has a panacea, prescription as to what's what, and how to get with it, and how to be successful in it. A lot of our ministries have fallen into that trap. What is what God has designed for purpose. Let's look at a few definitions back. Turn to the front of your book. The first one we're going to look at today is the word array. That is a collection, display, assortment, a group of organized display. Then the next one is artificial intelligence. Everybody say artificial intelligence. Tell us what that is, Brother Deacon.
Mechanized limitation of knowledge.
That's mechanized. It's
imitation.
Not knowledge, imitation of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you get out of your advice columns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is what it is. And
right. This
is why you will never walk through these doors and somebody's preaching five ways how to do something. There isn't any five ways to do anything. What's good for the goose may kill the gander. What works is what is synchronized in purpose. You may do the same procedures, and it may work in one instance. It may be a disaster in another. What's the difference? Purpose. When the process aligns with the purpose, it's a goal. When the process conflicts with the purpose, it's a no. It can be disastrous. And these are the things that we must understand. The next one is functionality. Everybody go on down the line here. I'm just going to touch on a few of those are relevant to what we are going to deal with this morning. Functionality. Everybody said functionality.
Functionality.
Brother Deacon, what is that?
Functionality is the process of how an entity operates.
Okay, the next one is impression. Everybody say impression.
Impression.
What is that?
Impression is feeling, idea.
Stop. Feeling. That's what gets us in trouble.
Absolutely.
You can't live your life based upon feelings.
Mm-hmm.
What you feel sometimes has nothing to do what's going on with what's going on. And this is, going to touch on this this morning. Paul outlays some things not based upon feeling but fact. Feeling can be drawn from what is observed or what is conveyed upon observation, wherein fact goes to the essence of what God has decreed. Now, what has God decreed? What has God decreed? God has, what God has decreed is in His Word. And this is why we have adopted the saying around here. And everybody repeat after me. It's in the saying.
In the
saying.
Not seen. Not
the saying. We got to get this. What God has said.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about impressions, we're talking about what?
Feeling.
No good.
Idea.
No good.
Notion.
No good.
Sense.
What sense?
Thought.
Oh my God.
Effect.
Mm.
Influence.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness.
Your consciousness. And here we deal with that word appearance, our consciousness this morning when we get into our text. So what is the matrix? Everybody said the matrix.
The matrix.
What is that?
Visual representation.
Did it say actualization?
Nope.
Visual
representation,
uh-huh,
or indications,
uh-huh,
in grids and or patterns of measurements,
mm-hmm,
for testimonial documentation.
For what? For testimonial documentation
only.
The next one is manifestation. Everybody said manifestation.
Manifestation.
What is that?
Manifestation is the outward perceptible indication,
mm-hmm,
or revelation or materialization.
Okay, now we'll stop there this morning. Oh, one more. Reality. Everybody say reality.
Yeah.
What is that?
Reality is actually existent, true, or certain.
And so as we focus on this, we're not ever relying upon what we see. What is before us? The reliable indicator is what the Word of God has conveyed. And that gets us in trouble even when we're reading the Bible and the translations. Because we always want to tie everything to what we can, quote, resonate with. What we can understand.
Yeah.
And then, even in the Old Testament, it's telling us to lean what?
Not.
Don't count on your understanding. That in everything you do, in all your ways, do what? Look to Him to do what? To direct us, to lead us, what God says. Now that's Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That's corroboration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we just go right by us. God's people have the privilege, through the knowledge of His Word,
mm-hmm,
to live very peaceful,
yes, yes, yes,
and joyful. And it doesn't even depend upon the things that are happening around us.
So true.
Our joy is the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Our peace is the peace of God which passes all human understanding.
Oh. Yes, Lord.
Let's go to page 16. This is where we stopped last week. And also we're going to go back Second Corinthians chapter, that's not last week, before last. Second Corinthians chapter 5, 12 and 13, and some of you, I saw the puzzle on your face. So I feel compelled to come back to this and review. Now, as we look at this passage, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. To really hone in, we have to go back into the fourth chapter in its ending. When verse 16, he talks about, because we have this understanding, and because of the grace of God that has been given, we look at some things that should cause us to faint, but we don't. In recognizing through the knowledge of God, that the process is that the outward man perishes. But inwardly we are renewed. Outwardly we perish. Inwardly we are renewed. And then in verse 17 of that fourth chapter, just going back, bring it into context. He speaks of an affliction being light because it's momentary. It's quick. God is timeless. And what may linger for years is but a moment in comparison to eternality. So it's light. And then he speaks of purpose here. It's doing something. It's working for us, not against us. Somebody say, you mean this thing I'm going through is working? For me, I can't see that. That's
the problem.
Everybody again, it's not in the seeing.
It's not in the seeing.
It's in the saying.
It's in the saying.
Regardless of what I see, it's working for me. Because God's word says it's working for me. It's working for me. Not against me. Well, this thing is tearing me up. Again. It's not in what's observed. Now here, the word of God is telling us this. Now you get to verse 18. It says, don't be looking at those things. Because the scene is temporary. Don't get caught up in the process. Focus on the purpose. The purpose is eternal. The unseen, the spiritual. And then Paul goes in the on as he moves on into, we move on to the next chapter, he speaks about the ultimate end of what many of us consider life to be.
Right.
Which is what's going on in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And he lets us know that the essence of life is not about what's in the matrix or what's in the cosmos or what's in the world or what's going on with you as it relates to you in this body. Well, preacher, you sound like you're saying that it's not important and that no, that's not what we're saying. What's the key word here?
Prioritize.
Mm-hmm. What is the priority? Mm-hmm. What is more important? Mm-hmm. You in the body of Christ or you in the flesh? In fact, in Romans chapter 8, Paul said you're not in the flesh. What do you mean we're not in the flesh? in the essence. So you're in the spirit. The you is the you in the body of Christ. This is what he's saying. The spiritual eternal one. Rather than the physical temporary one. And so he goes to the husband inn and he says, now, when, not if. That Greek word that's eon. If indeed, a when.
Yes. Yes.
This earthly house of this tabernacle may be having been destroyed. Preacher, that's brutal. No. It depends upon, you see. What messes some of us up is we got these expectations concerning this life. And we have these notions of how things should be. Things should be the way God ordered them in his infinite wisdom. Your life is not about you. My life is not about me. Our lives are about Christ. His will, his way, his purpose. Him, he, not me, my, I. No.
Thank you, Jesus.
And many of the ministries, they operate in this vein because they know that's what you can resonate with. That life is all about me. And it's not. And he talks about, as we go down here, earnestly groaning, and in other words, the eternal hope of God moves us into the mentality of eternality.
Yes.
Rather than us focusing and fantasizing in time. Now, I know this is not popular ministry, and you're not going to fill a house with it. But if this is what's there, then God help us. And he, I believe, in this case of this ministry, he has consigned us and placed us into straits to the point that we can't help but preach this. Because that's what's there. And so as this moves through, and I want to clear up one thing where those that teach that what you do in time is going to determine where you spend eternity, and even to the point where they've taught us for years where we are coming before the bema and then God's going to keep a scorecard on us. That's not what this is saying. You know, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that's not actually when you translate that. That appearance there, that Greek word there, appearance, Brother Deacon, what is that? It's an aorist infinitive. It has already occurred in the decree. To be having been manifested. And then when you look at another verb in there, basically, you know what it says? That one may receive. And some say, we're going to receive this, recording, da, da, da. We're going to receive this, that, and based upon what we've done, we're going to receive this, you know, the things that done. Brother Deacon, what is that?
Aorist subjunctive.
Say it out loud.
Aorist subjunctive.
What is the subjunctive mood?
Probability.
What is the aorist tense?
Completed.
So, what has previously been assigned? all the wind out of the sails of those who said, I'm sending up my temple. I got to get my thing in order. What order? What order? What order? There is no order in anything that we are doing, in anything that we have laid out as the essence of our contribution. What order? Anything that we're doing is disorder. If there is some order, it's because God has previously assigned it.
That's it. Amen. Thank you.
So go back and check that out. That's like a little sidebar here. But he put this in. The focus is not on us, it's on him.
Always. Hallelujah.
Not on what we do or can do. But on what God has done. On our behalf. And so, as we move to verse 12 again, Brother Deacon, read that. 12 and 13, first in the King James. Everybody got 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Say amen. Read.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf,
mm-hmm.
that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart.
Now, hook that up with verse 13.
For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause.
Now, you notice here, when you first start that verse off, basically, it's a continuation of the essence of a word manifest. What is manifest? What are manifests? Verse 11, we have been made, and kind of cut it down because of the time. The time is really moving on us this morning. We have been made manifest. When did that occur? Right? Go back to verse 10. Remember? That appearing before the bema is a completed action. So everything is that is manifest in time, basically, it brought to light in the eternal end, but as it relates now to our conscious, you notice how he ends up verse 11. That is translated in the conscious, in the mind, in the conscious. What is working in the conscious? In verse 12, Brother Deacon, let's go to the... I said, Pastor, you know, you're really taking us to... No. Just follow. Mm-hmm. It's going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. For us to comprehend what is happening around us. I read this week where the level of the oceans are rising. All along the coast, each continent, except for a few places, they don't have the walls to hold back the tributaries. That's going to overflow. And you think you've seen some flooding. You haven't seen any flooding. No. The whole world is not going to go down. Amen. We got a covenant to deal with that.
Have mercy. Hallelujah.
But I'm just focusing on one potential so-called tragedy. Mm-hmm. there's nothing that stops the Atlantic Ocean from coming on in through the Hudson Bay and flooding New York City out. Nothing has been put in place because nothing was ever decreed to be in place. And I'm not saying New York City is going to be, they might run out here and stuff. Listen, thank God for the recordings. But we're pointing at the things that we seem to be so vulnerable to in our lives.
Yes.
Yet we're safe.
Yes.
We're secure.
We are.
Salvation means safe.
Amen.
If we are not safe, then we are not saved.
Amen. Amen.
Because saved means safe.
Mm-hmm.
Secure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Confident.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Oh, no, not in ourselves. In God.
Yes.
Read that, Brother Deacon, 12 and 13 right quickly. And from the interlinear. Follow along here. And we're going back over this. This is review. Because I did see some puzzled looks on some of your faces last time we went through this. And a good teacher would pick that up. I'm not saying I'm a good teacher. I'm just saying, amen. A good teacher would pick that up. Which means we got to go over this again. Because the idea is that we get this. Because it's going to be helpful. It's going to give you a heads up in life.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be dominated by the news of the day.
Oh, Lord, help us.
The forecast of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
The contemplations of the age. Read.
We're reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 from the interlinear Greek text. Not again ourselves we commend to you.
Mm-hmm. Paul said, now again, we're coming to tell you again.
But an occasion giving to you of a boast on behalf of us.
On behalf of us, what?
In order that ye may have, in reference to the in-face
that
boasting.
That you may have, what he's implying here is an answer.
And not in heart.
To what appears to be concerning us that you found us boasting in and not in that which seems to line up with what a supposedly stable situation is. What is a stable situation? What is a peaceful situation? And what ties it in verse 13? And we're going to go kind of slow here in our exegesis. Very slowly, Brother Deacon.
Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
For whether we are mad...
Stop. You see that? Greek word there, and this is what causes some of the problem. That Greek word is as zest to mean. Actually translate amazing, mad, astonished. What is that, Brother Deacon?
An heiress indicative.
So that should be what? So that is in the aorist tense, and even our friend here in the interlinear, he's got that in the present tense. Because it doesn't make sense in the aorist. Yes, it does. Listen to me. Even as you look at things in time, you must look at them from the vantage point of eternity. Do not look at time from time. Look at time from eternity. This is the way our contract, the grace covenant, everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
Its view is always from eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And the view from eternity is, remember that scripture we dealt with back here a couple of weeks ago, that all things are complete.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes, amen.
The knowledge of watching a game, and you're watching it, what they call live, which is really not live. That thing is already played out. But then when you even from manifestation, you're watching in time, you're watching a replay of it. You don't get upset because things seem to be going reverse it to your desire, do you? If you know that it's done. And even if that thing did not come out in the end the way you wanted it to, watching the replay, you're still not. Because you know what the end is. Everything is complete. So Paul said, we were amazed, astonished, but not in the essence of what we were going through. Here's what it reads. Father now, it is God as thus to mean Pharaoh. Translated, for whether we were astonished or mad or whatever you want to call it, we weren't acting the way you thought we should act. Pharaoh. Brother Deacon, what is that? Well, I don't know what is expressed there, but I'm looking at the ending. I'm looking at the structure. That's dative. Huh? That's dative. In other words, he said, I was focusing in the essence of this is in God. That thing should have had me tearing my hair out. But I was at peace. The things that we had gone through. Now, on the other hand, finish that up.
Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause.
You've got to turn this around. Here, that Greek word there is translated literally, we are in our senses. Which could mean that if you're in your senses, your right senses, and you're looking at that thing, your reaction should be whatever that thing is communicating to you. In the first instance, it looks like he said, well, he's mad because they're praising God. The second one would be if we are in our senses. But he said, if we are in our senses, he said, it's imin. What is that? All right, I just tell you, that's dative. Which would either be what?
In the sphere of
are instrumental. Or by means of. Which would be, follow this now. It would either be locative in the sphere of.
Glory to God. Yes.
Sphere of. We're mad. It's in God. When our senses, it's in you or us. Now, which one is more reliable? In God or in you or me?
In God.
This is what he is saying. What seems to make sense to us doesn't really make sense to God. It's foolishness. And what is foolishness is us, what? It's the wisdom of God. In other words, what it is, it isn't. And what it isn't, it is. Because that's the way our minds work. Some poet, I forgot which one, once coined this phrase. By rule, man is a fool. When it's hot, he wants it to be cool. When it's cool, he wants it to be hot. He always wants whatever is not. That's how man's work. Man. Oh, this is why they don't fool around with Paul's epistles. Some of y'all still got puzzle looks on your face. Amen. What Paul said, I looked at that thing, and from physical secular observations, it looked disastrous. But in God, it was prosperous. Because what I look at in my own sense is that prosperous, many times, is disastrous. So what is depends upon what is in God. Not is what is in my flawed assessment of visualization. Remember these terms that we spoke of this morning? See, we got to align these. Now, if that's not true, we take this book and we pitch it. And what many of them do, as we have demonstrated through exegesis, is they translate as these. The translations turn these words around to fit our resonation. The quickest way to mess up a translation is to tie it to human resonation. Scriptures do not need our help. The scriptures don't need our help. We must be strict constructionists. And what it conveys, even though if it doesn't make sense to me, if that's what it says, that's what it is. Are you all going to hear me this morning? I'm going to skip some of this in review. Let's go to page 16. You see where we have that little diagram, cosmic worldly networks. Everyone repeat after me. Cosmic worldly networks. Cosmic networks are process and procedure congestions exhibit simulations proffering precise resolutions in concert with misconstrued super hacking labor determination. What we're saying there, you know, somebody hacked into the computer, that means they're violated. And now they're going to put their stuff in there, right? Follow this. We've got determinants aligned in precise resolutions of processes and procedures. And they're illegitimate. These networks of processes and procedures. The reason you have so much congestion, follow, is that they're only simulations. Yeah. Proffering precise resolutions. They seem to make sense, but they don't. They're illegitimate because they've been hacked into the system. Pastor, why did you say it that way? Well, we'll find a different way to say it somewhere else. Illegitimate. Such illusory mantras of provisions are erroneously viewed as impending in forecasts, as we've said just a few minutes ago. Impending in forecasts as anticipated by their presumptions, yet they are prophetically and instinctively identified as executed and resurrected solidarily in the sense of their deliberation appearances. They're there, and they are sending a signal to our conscience. But it's a false signal. Because they're illegitimate. Hacked into the system. Manifestly, these flashes exhibit other than what they reliably repute in compliance of their dispositions, which compels similar references to their illustrations. This induces the ensuing of the following question or inquiry. Why such advanced and veiled assessment when they are indicative of exposed embodiments? And this is why we're always having to, they're always having to change stuff. Now, if you want to go on a roller coaster ride, you go that way. You look at life, whatever that thing is seeming to be, and you're not stopping to consult with God's word in anything, then that's your roller coaster ride.
Amen.
Paul didn't take it. Mm-hmm. God didn't allow him to take it. They were beaten.
Sure.
They were threatened.
Sure.
They were shipwrecked.
Absolutely.
Some anything, they were in prison. Anything, he was stoned, left for dead. Anything that could have happened to him happened.
Yes.
And as he expressed a lot of portion of Acts, as he left Ephesus, he said, none of these things moved me. They didn't dominate me. Because that's not what I was looking at. We got to stop saying, what is this? And ask what? What is this for? Everybody said purpose.
Purpose. Come on, Pastor.
Yes.
Not what is this thing, but what God, what is God doing with it? If it's there, God placed it there for purpose. Follow this. Oh, that time. There also resounds in whatever orderly conforms to the requisites of consistency in both proverb and purpose. Not just one, but both. You got to align the procedure, proverb, with the purpose. They must align.
All right.
Now you got something going. All right. And that is with the procedure of the process aligned with the purpose. The process of itself has no purpose.
All right, now.
The purpose is whatever God's design is.
Yes.
For whatever's going on.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm broke. I lost my job. This happened, that happened.
Yeah.
Lord, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Oh, number.
Hey. No, I trust this is a living God.
That's it.
And we strive when he causes us to have confidence in his purpose.
Lord,
calls Paul to have confidence in his purpose. This is why he said, in one place, for me to live is what?
Christ.
And to die is what?
Amen.
To live is Christ. My life is Christ. Christ is my life.
Yep.
How many of us think that way?
Yep.
That the essence of our life is not about our day to day. And I'm not saying these things are unimportant. I'm saying we've got to align them and to prioritize array that God is first. And the essence of what has happened to you is purposed according to his will. And the purpose is an eternal purpose.
Hallelujah.
See, here's our problem. We prioritize time, and God prioritizes eternity. We prioritize physicality and secularity, and God prioritized what?
Spirituality.
Yes. Follow. Fortitudes in and of themselves forge the vanguard that evidences resolution of possessions, franchising the critiques of humanly exasperated adages, inevitably summoned in physicality's aphorisms. What's an aphorism? A saying, an adage. You know, it's, you know, anything that becomes a popular saying is an adage. It's supposed to be, in most cases, a principled saying, but not all the time. And if it's flowing from humanity, you watch that thing. You know the one, what you don't know won't hurt you. That's the craziest thing. What you don't know can be lethal. You know another one. Ignorance is bliss or happiness. Now how crazy is that? What you don't know can hurt you real bad. Amen. So these have been hacked into the system. All right. Incredibly, I'm going to run a little over this morning. Incredibly, no one challenges the varied impressions of the physical secular measures, the matrix which engrosses and influences countless perceptions and booing processes of verbal diversions. Now, what are we saying there? We don't even question the things that just throws a monkey wrench in everything. Well, I guess that's just the way it is. We tried and we failed and da 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 da. No, you did. No matter what you did, that thing couldn't have gone any other way. Or else, God designed, God created the universe, the world, the creatures, and things. Then he stepped back and said, well, let's see what you guys are going to do. No. We give him credit for being a creator, but we don't give him credit for being a designer and a planner.
Amen.
If God is perfect, and everything is complete. Everything that has happened manifestly, is happening manifestly, and will manifest, has already happened.
Already.
It's complete. You are complete.
Amen.
You are complete in Him.
Yes.
It's a done deal.
Yes, it is.
Eternity exists now.
Right now.
Everybody said the eternal now.
Eternity
has never gone anywhere. I know what they taught us. They taught us you had eternity pass and then time came in, suspended it, put it on hold. And then now is the essence of what we do depends upon what happens when eternity resumes. They call it future eternity. Now time is on an equal plane of eternity and time is a creation. Did not he create the ages? Hebrews 1 and 2. So that the things that are seen are appearing are not coming out of the seen. They're coming out of the seen. What was said? When was it said? In eternity. Hebrews 11 and 3. Which they don't touch that. They always go to 1 and 2 and stop. In stark contradictions of these settings, actualized entities, everybody say actualized entities. That's what things really are.
Right.
They demand genuine requisitions and devotions of revelations and consistencies of feasibilities. In the scriptural approach of assessments, authorization gauges of initiations and originations surpass the insignia of revelations or illustrations. Oh my God. Scripture scrutiny. Everybody says scripture scrutiny. Exposes the underperformances of temporality and concomitantly, that is, at the same time, or in concert, it voids impersonations. That's why we went back and dealt with that. Impersonations of actuality.
Yes.
What you see is only an impersonation.
Yes. Right.
Manifestation is only an impression.
Yes.
You know something impersonates something. It acts like the real deal, but it's not. Entertainments of physicality's numerous and varied connections to philosophies accentuate the myths, expounding their authenticity. In this light, spiritual sessions. Everybody says spiritual sessions. We're going to deal with this in the conference. What is a spiritual session? That is something that is going on spiritually. You can align that which is spiritual. The spiritual is authentic.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. The physical is synthetic.
Jesus, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think I said it again. The spiritual is authentic. The physical, secular, is synthetic. That's how you assess and categorize spirituality from physicality. Is it real? How do you know it's real? If that thing is real, it's survivable. Nothing can disrupt it and change it. If it can be morphed, if it's changeable, it's not real. If it's here one moment and gone to the other, was it ever real? No. It's survivable. Again, everybody says spiritual sessions. Spiritual sessions administrate discernment's intentionality and confirmation of what is the major role in the matrix. Major role in the matrix is merely what? Testimony. It is the reflection in the mirror.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Nothing is done in the mirror. Mm-mm. Nothing is determined in the mirror.
Nothing
of itself is changeable in the mirror.
Nothing. Nothing. Yes, Lord. Amen.
What's in the mirror is consigned to reflections of the actualized object.
That's right. That's right.
Nothing goes down except God has what?
Ordained it,
decreed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's there because God put it there.
That's right.
For purpose. I might not like many times. I don't like what's there.
That's right.
But you know, as we were dealing with the pastor's pen this morning, who am I?
That's right.
To challenge God as to what ought to be. What ought to be is what he has determined in eternity, what is. And in the case of him, everything that is ought to be.
That's right.
And I know this is crazy teaching as far as the human mind is concerned, because there's a whole lot of things that I wish would be some another way. I don't run the universe. I have confidence in the one who does.
Yes,
you know the song, I don't know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. We're not piloting the ship. The old Invictus torn. You're not captain of nothing. You don't chart the course of anything. We don't determine anything. We don't influence anything. Oh, y'all don't hear me. This is the scripture speaking to us. Let me go on. Actualization of God's eternal workings was shaped solely in his decree rather than by what is refracted and humanly manifested in scriptures. Now I'm going to jump down because we're out of time. The last paragraph I'm going to read today at the top of page 18. Take these home and go through these. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you, enlighten you. You want to get a joyful view of life? You look into the scripture, into the word of God, and let God and God begin to really, really give you the light of this thing. Then life is no longer hard. It's hard in the sense of us going through it and what we resonate with. But it's easy. You know, in the corrupt reading, the kingdom gospel, to come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest. Now this, now from our vantage point of seeing it, now we know what Jesus is talking about. He said, take my yoke upon you and do what?
Learn
of me. A me.
That's what Jesus said, amen?
Yes.
This is in the kingdom gospel.
Yes. That's right.
But now when we're viewing this from what we know, then we can see exactly what Jesus is talking about.
That's right. Oh, turn to me. Oh,
glory. Because what? My yoke is what?
Easy.
Easy. He said, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's not. This is what this is saying to us. And my burden is what?
Light.
Paul spoke of that in this same passage. Momentary and light afflictions. Said, preacher, this is crazy. No, it's not. Of course, we just singing something. Come unto me. Hey, if you know this, you can really sing that song. And I will give you rest. From this view, we're able to see it. If I'm mad, if I'm amazed, it's in God. If I'm operating on my own senses, it's in me. Now, which one is the real deal? In God. Let's paragraph here. And then, man, when these times 2 hours.
Yeah.
The academic journal of the Grace Covenant documents the vanguard. What's the vanguard? That's the main force. An established bulwark. That's your greatest defense. That means you're looking at what's in the grace covenant. What's why we say when it comes to doctrine, stay in your gospel. Do not go outside of the grace covenant for doctrine. I'm not saying there are no doctrinal truths there. But to establish doctrine, stay in the grace covenant. And then as you go outside, whatever aligns with it,
that's
in corroboration,
right. Right.
Amen. Because there's so much that doesn't align.
Amen.
Until you know this, you don't know what Jesus is talking about. When he's going through what we just talked about. And then you're singing a song, and you just sing it, and then soon you walk out the door, something smack you in the face, and you go, ah!
Hallelujah.
That's how we are.
Yes, we are.
Some things get so tough we forget all about Jesus. Oh, you all know I'm telling the truth. And those that are watching, you know I'm telling the truth. The Academic Journal of the Grace Covenant documents the vanguard and the established bulwark in the eternal revelations solely constituting abiding actuality. Naturalistic notations outside of these confines exhibit testimony of scoped reflections and constructs. I guess I have to come back to this next week. Purely deceptive jargons incapable of awakening or escaping shabby idealisms that surround him. I have to come back. I'm going to just read it now. We'll start here next week. Perceptions of the disciplines of motions savor merely what appears to be rather than what such is and actualizations are. What is misconstrued as the real world is an illusion manipulated by human will, that is, of obscure knowledge, not replete in dignity or consistency and integrity. In these indicia, casual queries plead. Yeah, we have to come back here next week. Where are the terminations, influences in these measures? That's the question. Where are the determinants? Human rationale ignorantly responds, divinity may play roles in past, present, and common formulas. And this is what we're given even out of our religious sectors.
Yeah.
Common formulas of incarnations. However, there's uncertainty implied in what remains transcendent, like the ineffable. That which is not explainable, invisible, superlative, imminent, and the spark in humans. Now, you know that's way out there. You can just throw all of that out. In this case, you throw the baby out with the bath water. You clean that up, throw the very origin of that out. In other words, all of that's junk. In consideration that this is good, this is what happens. Such raw images and details from many conflicting traditions and views deeply rooted in religion, philosophy, and scientism. And this is where we've gone, and we've been drawn into this, and you see them trying to align God's word with these variants, all according to the universality of clearly the big idea that humanity's main problem, this is crazy, it's not ignorance in a dream world, but solutions by awakening to even more humanly enhanced knowledge and enlightenment in the matrix. That is crazy, and we'll start that next week. Amen. They started philosophizing.
Yes.
Philosophy rhymes with lie.
Yes, yes, yes.
They're not philosophizing, they're philosophizing. Don't go for that stuff.
Hallelujah.
There's only one true source
mm-hmm.
of information. That's God's word.
That's right.
Come on.
Yes,
and so we want to do like the song, Look and Live, Look and Live. It's recorded in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Look and live.
Hallelujah.
In the word.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Hmm? The essence of truth. The essence of what God is saying. The essence of what he has done. The essence of the thing that I can rely upon. And then when you understand that, you can say, even like the port, but with understanding and from the eternal view, that weeping may endure for the night, but joy. Can you say joy? Can you say joy? Joy. wonderful? Isn't he great? Isn't he marvelous? Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Hey!